Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And if you remember last week, we talked about... It's interesting, last week we talked about when Israel was in the desert, this rock that they drank out of, this spiritual rock in verse 4, was Christ. And that's what we just read about in Psalm 78. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And if you're here Wednesday, we talked about Revelation 22, this river that flows out of the throne of God and starts and fills a great expanse, a lot of water. And this is the water that Jesus told the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, if you drink this water, you'll never be thirsty again. And she said, give me this water. And he says, you're looking at him. I am that water. So we looked last week at all of these examples that Paul writes to the church at Corinth, how that you had Israel, who was saved out of Egypt, just like, and they were in bondage, just like we in our flesh are in bondage to sin, and through the blood of a lamb, the Passover lamb, they were delivered from Egypt, just like as the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, we are delivered from our sins. And then they started this journey, and God blessed them. God blessed them. He provided for them, but they weren't happy. And because they weren't happy, because they lusted after things, after evil things, and they were idolaters, and they committed fornication, and they tempted Christ, and they murmured. And all these things happened unto them for in samples, for us to see. And not just to see, you know, we talk about this difference of examples and in samples. You know, I could show you a picture up on the screen of a chocolate chip cookie. And here's a picture of a cookie. Or I could hand you a cookie and say, here, try this. So you're seeing an example, but in sample, you're sampling it. You're seeing what this, and that's why the Bible says these are examples in verse 6. Now these were our examples, and then in verse 11, all these things happen unto them for in samples. And they are written. We can taste it. We can physically understand, and they're written for our admonition, for our warning. And then he ended our passage last week. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. Take heed, lest he fall. And then following those verses, we're going to look at just three verses this morning, because there's a lot in them. And so Paul has reminded us that all Israel went through in relation to us, the church, and all the examples and in samples, the cause and effect of what? Of sin and disobedience to God. Sin and disobedience to God. And it's interesting to me that if you look at Israel, and again, it's a picture, and it's a picture of us. And the reason it's a picture, you know, I like reading stories to my grandkids. I read them Tolstoy's War and Peace. Okay, I'm joking. You know what kids like to read? They like to read storybooks with pictures. And when I sit there with my granddaughter, she's not looking at the words. She's looking at the pictures. Because pictures give you that understanding. So here's a picture of Israel. God said, if you obey me, I will fight all your battles. I will take care of all your needs. You'll have problems, but I'll help you through them. And all God required of Israel was to be obedient, to do what I say. And when Israel obeyed God, God took care of everything. But what did Israel do? Hey, look over there. Hey, let's go over here and try this. And then, you know what God's going? God's, you know what? I'll be here when you get done. I'll be here when you... And they always made the trip back. They tried it their way. They always failed. They came back to God, and God blessed them for it. Okay. So now we get to the New Testament. We're under grace, right? Yes. What's that mean? You get to do whatever you want? No. God has given you a standard in His Word. And our responsibility to that is to obey. Let me ask you a question. When Israel disobeyed, were they still God's chosen people? Yes. God made His covenant with Israel. And even though they were disobedient, and He punished them, or they suffered for that, God still loved them. And our souls are sealed as believers, as Christians. But in order for God to bless us, we have to be obedient to His Word. I mean, if you think you can live in sin because you have some mistaken liberty in Christ, and God's going to bless you, then you've never read the Bible. And I'm not talking about legalism either. I grew up in legalism. I grew up in the rules. And those don't change who you are. The Word of God in your heart is what changes who you are. So, that being said, we get to this after Paul lays out Israel as these examples of being disobedient and suffering the consequences for it. He says in verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say." So, in verse 13, the first phrase is interesting. It's interesting the way it's worded. And I'm a believer that the words of the Bible are important, are very specific, and the words have meaning. And I told you the joke, and I like it because it's a joke, but it also explains what I'm, or illustrates what I'm trying to talk about. And that's when the grandson said to his grandpa, "Grandpa, can you make a sound like a frog?" And grandpa said, "Make a sound like a frog." He said, "Yeah, I heard grandma tell mom when you croak, we can all go to Disney World." Okay. The same word, but two different meanings. And that's why words have meaning. And that couldn't be more important in the Bible. So, this first phrase, "There hath no temptation taken you." Taken you. Temptation takes us. Temptation has the potential to take you. It catches us. It gets a hold of us. Just like with Israel, you know what? They were thirsty. And they had the living water. But something else tempted them. And they went with that. It usually begins with us with just a little thought or a little glance in our mind, a thought, something we hear. And you know what's interesting about this passage? It says, look, this isn't something unusual. This is common to man. That'd be us. We're all susceptible to temptation. And It's how we deal with our flesh. It's something we all deal with our flesh. Because when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were born again. Our dead spirit, because of Adam's sin, was born again to new life. But nothing changed about my flesh. I now have the Spirit of God living inside of me. But if I had a cough before I got saved, I still had a cough. If I had bad habits, my flesh, it was conditioned to bad habits, they're still there. And how we deal with our flesh, it always takes one of three forms. And you know this passage. 1 John 2:15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love God, the love of the Father is not in him. For here, and this is it right here, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three categories of our temptation. Is not of the Father, but of the world. And here's the perspective. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That'd be obedience. Now, look at the very first example of this in your Bible. Genesis 3:6. And when the woman, Eve, saw that the tree was good for food. And you know what I wonder? I wonder weird things. Why was Eve standing there in front of that tree? Why was Eve standing there in front of that tree? She's sitting there looking at it going, man, I wonder. And you know what? When that serpent spoke to her, she wasn't surprised. Like, what are you doing? What's the serpent doing? No.
Now the serpent was more subtle.
He was subtle. So I got a feeling that he was probably waiting for her to come up. That wasn't the first time she'd been there looking at that tree going, huh. When she saw that the tree was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. Man, I got to feed my flesh. I have to eat. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. The lust of the eyes. And a tree desired to make one wise. The pride of life. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Every temptation fits into those three categories. And that's how it began, and that's how it continues in every one of our hearts and lives today. But the next phrase, the verse doesn't end there. The next phrase solves the entire situation. But God is faithful. Because we're not. God is. God is faithful. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful. This is how we started this book. So this the beautiful body of Christ, it's kind of hyperbole. It's kind of sarcasm. Because the church at Corinth is just like our church. It's got a bunch of problems. And it's got problems because it's got, well, people like you and me in it. And we looked at the first 9 verses, and you know what the recurring theme in the first 9 verses of this letter to Corinth is? God, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, 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 Jesus Christ our Lord. Over and over again in the first 9 verses, though that is put forth as the answer. Not us, God. And in verse 9, God is faithful. Just like it says here in 10:13. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. God is faithful to us. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful. Who shall establish you? The Lord will establish you and keep you from evil. So we have temptation. We have things that appeal to the lust of our flesh, the lust of our eyes, the pride of life. But God is faithful. And you know what? He won't allow you to be tempted above what you're able. Nothing happens without God's permission. And you know, it's funny how we tend to think of God in human terms. We think God's up in heaven, and he turns around for a minute, and then he looks up. Oh, oops! Oh my gosh! What's that Dave doing now? Oh man, I'll have to fix it. No, nothing happens like that. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing happens with God's permission. In fact, I think that God allows temptation, not above what we are able, to see if we really trust him. Do you really try? Okay, yeah, I trust you, Lord. I obey you. All right, well, let's see. Let's see. Yeah. Because the only way we're going to get through that and how we trust him is based upon one thing and only one thing in our lives. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Two verses later, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Our attitude and our obedience to the word of God is what gets us through our temptation. And we've seen this. We've seen this example with Israel. God gave them all they needed, but also put them in positions where they had to believe in God and trust in his provision. And they failed. They whined. They complained. They lusted. They fornicated. They murmured. They went after idols. So the intentional limits God puts on our temptations are us being able to bear them. Thank God for that. God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. But wait, there's more. The verse again doesn't end there. He also makes a way for us to escape, that we may be able to bear it. Claim that promise and take the escape. And it all comes down to one word. And this one word, in context, is more powerful than God. And you're thinking, all right, you just lost me. Okay, you're preaching heresy now. Do you know what that one word is? Choice. Choice. God shed his son's blood for the sins of the world. Because he loves all. Great theological principle. All means all. But he won't force one single person to believe that. You have to make that decision. I don't care what the Calvinists say or believe. That decision is yours. Whosoever. And after you're born again and you're born into God's family and you're a son of God, you are no longer a sinner, you are now a son. He won't force you to obey him. You'll suffer if you don't. And you'll suffer because he loves you. He wants you to live in his blessings. But it's choice. We either choose to give in to our flesh, or we choose to submit ourselves to the Spirit of God inside of us. Look at this verse. Daniel 1:8. Daniel's in captive, carried away to Babylon. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Location didn't matter. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to give in to my flesh. I'm not going to sin. And we read this passage in Romans because, okay, if you ever want to look at a treatise on the struggle between the flesh and the spirit and what we're talking about and who will reign in your body, Romans 6, 7, and 8. And here's the heart of the matter in Romans 6, verses 11 through 18. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how you have to look at yourself. My flesh is dead. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So it's all about who's reigning. Neither yield your members as members your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because ye are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you when you got saved. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So every day, we make a choice. And that is who we're going to yield ourselves to. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, or to the Spirit of God that lives inside us and the Word of God. We make that choice. And whichever we yield ourselves to, that's who reigns. James 1:13, and actually 13 through 16. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted, here it comes, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when he acts on that, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And Joshua knew what it was about, even for Israel in the Old Testament. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Interesting that it says choose this day. Because I'll have to choose again tomorrow. And I'll have to choose again. And if you're like me, I'm choosing many times during the day who I'm going to serve. And here's how we do this. 1 Corinthians 15:31. I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. John the Baptist said it best. He must increase, I must decrease. Our flesh wants to promote itself. The Word of God says you got to kill it. You got to put it to death. And then God gives us some protection too. The armor of God. In Ephesians 6, and finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take upon you the whole armor of God. And if you break these pieces down, every one of them has to do with your Bible. Every piece of it does. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore with your loins girt about with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And man, this is one of the best verses to claim. James 4:7. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Romans 13:14. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh. Because it says that with the temptation, he also makes a way for us to escape, that we may be able to bear it. And then in verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Run, Forrest, run. Do the Joseph. You know, Joseph was in Potiphar's house, and Mrs. Potiphar kept coming on to him and saying, hey, you know, and he gets there one day and the house is empty and all the servants are gone, and she's got intentions. He didn't try to talk his way out of it. He didn't try to discuss it. You know what he did? He ran. Flee. That's got to be our action when we get involved with temptation, or we struggle with this. Escape it. Let's talk about some practical applications of this. If you struggle with alcohol, it's probably a good idea not for you to hang out in a bar. We all have history and struggles with our flesh. Mine was smoking weed. I like to smoke weed. And I struggled with that for years. And when God changed things in our lives, I pray things like, God, please take away this desire for me to smoke weed. Then I go hang around my friends, and like, oh well, I guess one hit won't hurt me too bad, you know. And I'm like, man, why do I keep doing this? And I was reading in Proverbs one day: enter not in the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they cause. Have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. You know, maybe you shouldn't be in positions where you have to run from Potiphar's wife, or when you have to go, flee. Don't give your flesh the opportunity. You know, I've known pastors who have fallen in sin sexually, and I don't think they woke up that morning and said, you know what? I'm going to cheat on my wife today and I'm going to destroy my ministry and my life. I don't think that happened. But I'll tell you what did happen. They put themselves in a position where they shouldn't have been in. And the flesh took over. And they destroyed their lives because of it. So, it's best not to do that in any context. And idolatry takes many forms in our lives. It's often physical, tangible things, stuff. But it's also thoughts and ideas, and usually about people and or circumstances that are not consistent with the Word of God. And these are also rooted in our lusts and desires of the flesh. And remember this, anything that becomes between you and this book and your relationship with the God of this book is an idol. Period. No matter how small or inconspicuous it may seem. And as a reminder, when we were in chapter 6 and verse 18, we were told to flee fornication. Here we're told to flee idolatry. In 1 Timothy 6, we were told to flee covetousness and the love of money. And in 2 Timothy 2:22, to flee youthful lust. So we are getting plenty of exercise running from sin and its circumstances. But we already saw in James 4 that when we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he flees from us. And the last verse of these three verses is, I speak to wise men. Judge you what I say. And it reminds me of what Jesus used to say. Actually, I had these here. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And chapter 6, verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. This is what Jesus used to tell his disciples. And look at these words. They're all single-syllable words. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Are you reading the Word of God? Are you hearing the Word of God? And when Paul says, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. He's saying, don't be stupid about this, guys. Don't be stupid about it. Keep yourself pure. Stay away from temptations. And when God allows temptation, and he's faithful to you, he won't allow you to be tempted above your able, but he'll give you an escape route. Take it. Take it. And the next time, don't put yourself in that circumstance. Don't put yourself in that situation. Now let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you do care for us so much, and you care for our lives, and you want us to be pure, you want us to be holy, you want us to be righteous and obedient, you want us to be blameless, and these are things that you ask of us, Lord. Just help us to trust in you, Lord. Help us to not to put any faith in our flesh or our own ability, Lord, but to choose you and to choose obedience to your word. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us when we do deal with temptation to deliver us from it, Lord. Help us to submit ourselves to God and to resist the devil, and that he will flee us, Lord. Help us to live obedient lives by faith in your word, Lord, and bless us because of it. And I pray now that you'll just go with us into the main service, Lord, and speak to our hearts through the preaching of the Word of God, and use Brian for your honor and your glory, Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I sound a guy at my job, because he's coming and asking me to write.